Welcome back to the Fast Lane. Chris Raji, Brad Thompson here with you, and we've spent a lot of time today talking about sports, even though sports, you know, aren't on at all right now. We hope that they're going to be back sometime soon, and we think about ourselves as viewers, and we want that back. We want that aspect of it back, but oftentimes we forget about the people that make it possible. Now, Major League Baseball players are well compensated, and they've got things figured out for the here, for the now, and hopefully we get to resume normal life again, right, and play games. Minor League Baseball, a whole different animal. So that's why we wanted to head now to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line and bring in Emily Walden. Emily is a national prospect writer at The Athletic. She also covers the Tigers minor league baseball for The Athletic and Baseball Prospect, or Baseball America, I believe it is. Emily, thank you for taking some time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Emily, first of all, being a guy who I absolutely remember my first paycheck in the minor leagues, it was 2003. The minimum at that time was $900 a month. And after taxes, and then you pay your rent and pay your clubhouse guy, I didn't have much money at all. And I wasn't a bonus baby, have all this cash to sit on. So I understand the plight. And that's why I love so much the effort that you are going through to get the word out and to get help for these thousands of players that don't have that sort of income. But I'm interested for you, because you covered these guys and you understand the game inside and out. But what spoke to you and what made you take on this initiative?
You know, it's kind of funny you ask that, because the answer is, it's really kind of funny. I was sitting at the kitchen table. It was about 12:15 at night, working on a couple of things, trying to piece together some specifics on what was going to be like the look of the minor league season. And I thought, you know, these guys are all out of a job. And I kind of sat there and went, somebody needs to do something about this. And it was never, look at the great things I'm doing, look at what I'm doing for these guys. It was, somebody just needs to act. Somebody needs to put this information out there, because it's very easy for the fans to forget how dire these guys' situation really is. And so I just kind of threw my hook out into the water with Twitter and said, hey, if there's any employers anywhere around the country, I added in Canada as well, just because of the Blue Jays organization, if there's any employers who are willing to offer flexible employment opportunities for these guys, shoot me a message. I am now over, I believe, 500 direct messages on Twitter with a combination of employment opportunities, financial donations, and we just went over $6,000 donated to players across the league over about a three-day period. So it absolutely blew my mind, and I'm so, so thankful.
What is the long-term prospect of it? And I guess by long-term, I mean like over the next month, and as the weeks go by, of how this might grow exponentially. Do you believe you're getting in touch with, or are the right people getting in touch with you who can also help spread the word?
I believe so. I think a lot of the bigger names in baseball, they've shown their support on Twitter. Jim Callis has said some things. Steven Nelson from MLB Network, he put a little shout out there. And the guys are just beyond grateful. None of them have put demands out there. None of them have said, you know, I need this or I need that. They just said, anything people can do is what's going to get me by. Because there's been a number of teams now who have confirmed that they will continue to pay the spring training stipend for the players. But again, that only consists of meal money. So these guys are getting anywhere from $15 to maybe $25, $30 per day, and they have to live on that. They're not getting breakfast and lunch at the facility anymore. They're back home, whether it be with their parents, their spouse, friends, wherever they may be, and all of a sudden they're going, this is all I'm getting for the foreseeable future, because none of us have any idea when baseball is going to come back.
It really is a scary thing, and it's a scary time. And I've dealt with this in the past, and I think a lot of people just don't understand it. And I guess, why should I expect them to? But I feel like a lot of people think, oh, professional baseball player, they've got money. And is that one of the most common misconceptions, Emily, that you run across? Is everybody just believes that these guys are all well off and they're fine?
They really do. It's such a tragic misconception, because a lot of times people won't even call minor league players professional players. And I have to look at them and go, do you guys know where these major league players started? They didn't just jump right into the majors. They all had to start somewhere. And so it's just really trying to work to continue educating the fans and making sure that they're aware of the big picture. It's not an effort to make Major League Baseball look bad. That's not my goal. It's to be realistic and say, this is the reality of where these guys are at, and these are the ways that you can help them out while they're a little bit down.
Emily Walden, national prospect writer at The Athletic, and doing a lot to bring awareness to the plight of minor league baseball players during a difficult time. And you just mentioned something that was striking to me, and it's obvious, but we forget about it. We watch these players on our TVs, and we just feel like, they were always supposed to be here. But that is where these guys got started. It's the minor leagues, the big leaguers that were buying their jerseys, and were buying all the merchandise, and were consuming the product because of them. They all started in the minor leagues. The players all know that. With that being said, do you foresee a time when the big league players step up in a big way for the minor league guys and somehow move the needle there?
I'm really hoping we see more of that. I would say I saw several guys last season, specifically Adam Wainwright, obviously has been very, very outspoken in support of the need for better pay. Sean Doolittle with the Nationals, he's been very honest and outspoken about the situation. And I think as more of these guys get further on in their careers, it kind of gives them a little bit more job security. And with that job security, they can be a little bit more confident with what they say publicly. Because even at the major league level, it is so hard to stick there. And so if you start to kind of run your mouth, so to speak, in the eyes of the owners, you might get put in a difficult situation. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of these guys are torn. Do I go public or do I try to maybe do some stuff behind the scenes? Maybe, you know, buy these guys some gear or buy them a suit to wear or, you know, offer some little things here or there. Because whether they're speaking publicly about it, they understand. They've all been there. I've had scouts come to me and say, I saw the stuff that you talked about with the pay. I remember my first paycheck. Everybody's been there and they know how severe it is. But because it's such a touchy subject, they really have to be careful how they approach it.
Is it really that bad when it comes to owners and players who are, I don't want to say on the fringe, but not as established as the guys you are talking about, where maybe they would not get a job or other teams would not consider them if they are vocal about doing better by minor leaguers? Or do owners, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised if the answer is yes, but are owners really thinking of it that way?
You know, I think it wouldn't necessarily be fair to lump them all together. I think that there may be kind of a few here and there who view it one way and then some maybe the other. But because of how touchy it is and how much people really want to be careful from a business perspective, it's tough for them to know what would really be best. But I have known of players in the past who, as they put it, were made to disappear. They suddenly had things become very difficult with their organization. A lot of these guys are viewed as non-prospects, which basically means you're not really on our priority list. And so a lot of these guys who are a little bit lower down the totem pole, they understand how precarious this is. And they say, you know what, if I speak up, am I going to lose some support here? Am I going to lose playing time? They don't know. And because of how difficult that is, they don't want to take that chance. Because I've had players tell me, I want to speak out, but this is my life. This is my career. I don't want to throw it away just because I was frustrated about something. So really, it's a tough spot for all those guys to be in.
It's an impossible situation. It really is. Emily, you know St. Louis and Cardinal fans specifically, they love their team. They love their players. They're very knowledgeable when it comes to their prospects. And there's a big heart for sports. That being said, for our listeners right now that are hearing about this, and inevitably, look, the Cardinals organization, just like all organizations, have minor league players that are hurting for something, whether it be a place to live right now or money or paying rent or, you know, whatever it is. How can our listeners, how can Cardinal fans help? How can they get involved?
Yeah, I would say any opportunities that people can utilize Twitter, I would encourage them to do that. I know it could be a little bit of a trying social media platform at times, depending on the topic of conversation. But I would say that would really be the best. Send these guys just encouraging tweets. Send them a message. Hey, we're behind you. We're for you. We're here to support you. I'm collecting donations still. I've already had, which I got to give you guys a shout out. Cardinal fans have come through huge to pay a player's salary for the month. That's how generous some of these people have been.
That is great.
So just continue doing what you're doing. Continue to throw out those opportunities to donate to these guys. If you want to send them gift cards, that's huge. Get them to be able to order food. And I know, not sure how it is in St. Louis right now. I know restaurant situations are a little precarious with how they're handling delivery or if they're open at all. So it's really kind of an interesting time for everybody involved. The guys have to sort of navigate this delay in their careers while the rest of the world is navigating the effects of coronavirus. So everybody's in a tough spot. So we really do have to kind of come together and just try and make the best of the situation for each other.
Emily, we appreciate the time. I love what you're doing. I really do. We encourage people to follow you on Twitter and help out as much as they can. You can follow Emily Walden at Emily C. Walden, W-A-L-D-O-N. And Emily, thanks again. And we hope to talk to you again in the future and hopefully down the road. And we know this is way, way further down the road that we get some things figured out on the minor league side. Emily, thanks again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Emily Walden at The Athletic, national prospect writer, doing a lot of good things to help out a lot of deserving young players. So pretty cool stuff.
And she did mention the restaurants, here in town and everywhere, and a lot of people are struggling. And we just I think it's a good idea for us to continue to reiterate there are a lot of places in town that even though the dining rooms are going to shut down as of midnight tonight, I believe it's midnight tonight. They are still, a lot of them, doing curbside and carryout and delivery. You know, we've got places like Cyberg's, Dave & Buster's. Schlafly is doing curbside to-go orders.
You get beer, too.
And beer. Urban Chestnut, same thing.
Yep.
They're doing pickup orders. We got a lot of really good places in town, a lot of local places that are doing all of this stuff, and It's about as safe as it can possibly be. You know, I mean, and we talked to Bob Bonney with the Missouri Restaurant Association, who said, according to the CDC, when he talked to them, that it's about the same as if you went into the store to pick up something else, you know, pick up something for yourself, a grocery store, that it is still okay to order carry out and get from these places, that's not the thing you need to worry about. What we need to worry about is these businesses losing money and maybe eventually losing their business. So let's support them as much as we can.
If you've got a place that you enjoy, that you want to be there when it comes back, everything comes back.
Contact
them out as much as you can now.
See if they're doing anything.
Another idea, by the way, is overall, and this could be like a minor league baseball player idea, buy those gift cards. I'll tell you what, I promise you this.
Yeah.
If you get a gift card for a place and that shows up in the minor leagues, you're like, oh, yeah.
And most places have merchandise, t-shirts, coffee cups, hats. Support them that way, too.
Get down. Yep.
Buy anything you
like
can.
It.
Get involved.
I like it. All right. It's thanks, coronavirus. We still got like a couple of light drops. Yeah, I like it. Send more, by the way. If you got something to blame a bad time or bad situation on, or maybe something good happened, you want to thank coronavirus, go for it. Rhino Shield mic drop. Leave us text. Air Comfort Service. Text line 65780. That's next.